The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Chapter 3, look at verse 14, and I'll just read that verse. We've seen in verse 13 where Moses is getting ready to appear before Pharaoh. We see he's going down to Egypt, and he has a question to God, and that is this: when I appear before them, who do I tell, if you will, that have sent me, or who am I representing? And God said unto Moses in verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. And I'd like to speak this morning on God's simple provision. I think sometimes in our complicated world, we make Christianity complicated. I think sometimes in our world of running here, there, in the other places, most often, more than not, because our lives seem to be complicated with trying to provide finances or stability or that which is a reasonable hope that lies in us and the lives of other people, sometimes we kind of complicate the issue. You know that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way but to trust and obey, I think kind of simply lays it out to make it uncomplicated. You know, if you would picture yourself as you were when your children was young and you gave them a simple command, you gave them a simple order, you gave them a simple word of instruction, and it was simple. It was not hard for them to understand, and they simply rose up, went, and did. That's exactly how our Heavenly Father wants us to be to Him. He wants us simply to rise up and go and accomplish without all the drama and without all the complications. And so Moses is thinking here, I'm getting ready to enter in to the mightiest, powerful, most prestigious king that is in the land. I'm going to go before him. No doubt it's going to come up before him. No doubt, because the people have been in bondage for such a long time, they're all going to wonder one thing: who is it that sent me? And God says, in return to that, you can answer them simply. You can say, I am has sent you. Now, can I tell you, God's provision is simple. And so as I speak this morning on God's simple provision, it's easy to see. It's not difficult to understand. It's not difficult to be able to receive it, to adopt it, and then to practice it, unless you try to read into it more than God would have you to read into it. Here you'll see in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Now, by the way, the Bible says that he knew their sorrows by way of the taskmasters, so he knew everything that was going on in their lives. God knows everything that's going on in your life. God knows every single problem you are facing or have faced, let me give it to you, or ever will face. He is not somebody that woke up this morning and was shocked by the trauma that you're going through. He's not somebody that woke up this morning and all of a sudden he found himself in bewilderment with many questions about the places that you find yourself in of distress. The Bible says in verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And may I say that God is the great deliverer. Man may not understand, nor can man totally deliver, but God is the one that ultimately gives the deliverance. Yesterday, as we had the privilege to be able to go, I and of course Dr. Bachman went, and Brother Tomley went, and we were able to spend time with Brother York in the hospital, and he's at the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital over in Kauffman. And so we went to spend some time with Brother York, dear man of God, dear servant of the Lord, helps to write our Bible curriculum, that is in our Bible college, highly educated, and a man, if you would please, of great faith. And as we went over to be able to encourage him as we stood in his presence, though through a veil of tears and with a great desire to serve the Lord, he uttered words of encouragement from his own lips. Now, can I tell you that here you'll see that the hand of the Egyptians were strong, but the hand of God is always stronger. It doesn't matter what you face in your life, you have a mighty deliverer. And that mighty deliverer will stand by you in your hardest times, your most difficult dilemmas, your most agonizing, if you would please, events that you go through. He is not going to forsake you. He is going to be close by your side. So he says this in verse 8. He says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Oh, you say, but God is only one. But God is the only one that can give deliverance when there is a mighty tide that is standing against you. The Bible says in verse 9, now therefore it says, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And so he knows everything that's going on, every waking hour, every single problem, every single dilemma. The Bible says in verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send these, talking to Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, now watch this, he said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now watch this in verse 12. He says, and certainly I will be with thee. And so it doesn't really matter how big the problem is. It doesn't really matter how big the opposition is. It does not matter what type of dilemma you find yourself in. You have a God that is bigger than any dilemma. You have a God that's bigger than any opposition. Take courage this morning. No matter what you face, whether it's in your financial world, whether it's in your relationship world, whether it is in your child-rearing endeavors, whether it is in a relationship that you're trying to salvage, it does not matter how big it is or how dynamic it may look for not turning out right. God is able to deliver. The Bible says in verse 13, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And it's very simple how God comes back and he tells Moses now that he is getting ready to face, if you would please, those that are the fathers of those that's in bondage and those that are holding them in bondage. The name is still the same. It doesn't change. It doesn't change whether a person is held in bondage or if it is a person that's holding somebody in bondage. God himself does not change. He said, to make it simple, he said, here's what you tell. You simply tell that I am have sent you. Now, so it doesn't matter what the complexities are. It doesn't matter what the distresses are. The I am is still the I am. Do you realize that Moses is the one that God used? But you could look at Moses in a light fashion and say he was a basket case because of the fact that he was sent in a basket down among the flags there in the river. And so he came from being in a basket case, if you would please, to being a mighty one that would deliver others out of that which is a distressful time. What's that tell me? That tells me that God can use anybody. That tells me that God is not limited to that which is the humanity of an individual. No, 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 no. It does not matter. You say, well, I don't know much. You don't have to know much. You just need to know the one that knows all. You don't have to be all-powerful, and you don't have to be all-wise, and you don't have to be all-knowing, and you don't have to have that which is an imp of degree that is greater than someone else in order to lead them out of a distressful time. It's not the what you know. Stay with it now. It's not the what you know. Think about what I'm saying. It's not the what that you know. It's the who that you know that makes the difference. When we were visiting over Brother York in the hospital, we graciously reminded this great saint of God that God is the great physician. God is the great physician, and God is the one that can work in somebody's life. I prayed for my daddy to get saved for a long time, and Dad submitted unto that which is the very graces and the mercies of God when God moved in. But it had to take God moving in. Michael Wells, his boy that stands here today, could not have the power to be able to influence or the power to make change in his life. But there's a God. There's a God. There's a God that answers prayer. There's a God that comes through, and a God that hears when you and I are in distress. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now the man Moses was very meek." Oh, you mean you don't have to have somebody boisterous, if you will. You don't have to have a Peter in order to be able to have a miracle. You don't have to have somebody that is of a big tongue and of a big mouth and is of a persuasive manner in order to be able to change the outcome of a circumstance. Well, I guess not, because here's Moses. Again, it's not Moses that made the difference. It's the God of Moses that made the difference. And by the way, it's the God, the same God that saves the soul. It's the same God that works with the saint when it comes to answering prayer. It's the same God that will encourage you during your loneliest day in your life. It's the same God that will lead you to that which is the light when you're walking through the darkness of your hour. He is the same God that comes in that which is the stormy night to give you a day that is bright. And so we understand that here he is. And here the man Moses was very meek. And above all men, the Bible says, in Numbers 12 and in verse 3, above all the men, it says, which was upon the face of the earth. So he's just not a meek man. Oh, he's meeker than anybody that you've ever met during that specific time. So how is it that we can overcome distressful times? What is it that we can do when we feel like the opposition is greater than that which is lying within ourselves, the ability to be able to cope and the ability to be able to overcome? Let me give you just three simple illustrations backed up by scriptural truth. Statement number one, when I was worried, he provided power. When I was worried, how many of you at one time or another in your life, it might have been dealing with a sick child. It might have been dealing with a distressful time. It might have been a time where things just didn't seem like that they were going right. It might have been facing a bill. It might have been facing a doctor. It might have been facing some type of other calamity. But how many of you at one time or another in your life, you have been slightly, notice how I'm trying to get you to participate, you've been slightly worried about something, just slightly. I'm not saying overwhelmed. I'm not saying that you're ready to dig the grave and jump in it. I'm not saying that you're ready to dig the grave and push your neighbor into it. I'm not saying that. But at one time or another, slightly, mildly, and just a tidbit, you know, how many of you at one time in your life had something that worried you just mildly? Raise your hand. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Now, for those of you that did not raise your hand, I'll pray that God gives you something today. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? But now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. In Exodus chapter 3, we see that which is the pre-incarnate Christ that appears before Moses there in the fire. And you see that God is giving him instruction. And God is telling him, I am the one that will bring you through. Moses in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3, you'll see, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you probably the biggest enemy that I have in my life is me. Is me. Oh, there's some times in my life, dear friend, I have great faith. There's some times in my life where my faith is not great. Oh, there's been times in my life where I can believe that God can move the mountain. And then there's times in my life where I think that God might just be able to move the molehill. Now, by the way, you're there too. I wish we could all live in such a realm where we could walk in faith, but you are human. You are human. I am human. offer preachers to get up today and pretend that there's some type of superhero. And by the way, I hate to break the news to you, but there is no such thing as a superhero. I know I just disturbed your psychological thinking, but nobody's going to walk in your life and have a big S on their chest and say, I have arrived and I've got all the answers. If you're looking for that friend, you're not going to find that anywhere. Some of you got married and you thought that your husband was the superhero, and he would dive out of the closet with a big S across his T-shirt, and you found out all he had on his T-shirt was the stain from the ketchup that he ate his French fries with the night before. You know, can I tell you that, listen, I'm saying that when I was worried, he provided. He provided. I can run to somebody and say, pat me on the back and help me out and give me some encouragement. But can I tell you, that's only going to last a little while. God is the one that can help you when you're worried from the inside out. God is the one that can take and encourage you on the inside when everybody else walks away and everybody else walks out of your life. That's when the Lord Jesus walks in. Now, can I say, many years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Joe Scriney. Joe Scriney was a missionary from Ireland going to Canada to be able to reach the Indians. Oh, he was so excited. And his fiance also believed it was the will of God. And so they together would encourage each other along the way. Oh, just a couple of days before they were supposed to get married, she was visiting on the field, and they were setting up where they were going to have their family. Oh, they were just so excited. And she went out on an icy pond and fell through the icy pond because of the thin ice, and she died underneath the layer of the icy pond. Oh, Joe became so discouraged. He thought he might as well just give up and throw in the towel. But a year later, after suffering depression, a year later after going through the agony, a year later, and all that 1 year, missing his fiance and missing the very blessedness of having her to be able to walk beside, he wrote a letter back to his dear mother 1 year later, and it says this: as I reflect upon this past year, I have to rejoice, because I know that as I look at this 1 year later, what a friend I have in Jesus, all the sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He says, I have trials and temptations, I have trouble everywhere, but Mom, I've learned not to be discouraged, because I've learned to take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, can I tell you, when all else fails, when you go to, and you say, why are you preaching this? Because I know that we all have trouble from time to time. I know this for sure, that during the Christmas time, with the mad Christmas rush, and with trying to please everyone, and trying to buy a present for everyone, and trying to figure out what everyone wants, and running here, there, and to the other place, and being stomped by crowds everywhere, can I tell you that sometimes you just might get a slight bit worried. Somebody said this, peace is not found in the absence of trouble. It's a good statement. Peace is not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Christ. Boy, isn't that true? Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 kind of backs up that thought, where the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So as I keep my mind stayed on Christ, that's where the peace comes. As I keep my mind focused on the only one that can help me in times of distress and trouble, that is where the peace does come. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that Moses answered. He says, and behold, what if they will not believe or hearken unto my voice? And what do I say then? And of course, Moses was always, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10 gives evidence of that, as he said that he was not eloquent, if you would, in his demeanor or his speech. You'll see this, that Moses had a great insecurity problem. You'll see that Moses had a great lack of confidence. He did. If you study his life, you're going to find out that this man, you would never choose to be a leader. you're going to find out that this man, you would never say that, oh, that's the one that God is going to use. Here's a meek man, they say, the meekest man that walked the face of the earth at that time. And you would look at him and you would say, there's no way that God would use such an individual to deliver over 1 million Jews out of bondage. He just doesn't have the leadership ability. He doesn't have leadership talent. He's never taken a course in leadership, and God's not going to use him. Oh, but you'd be amazed how God could take an individual and that individual completely submit to God, and God says, that's the one. Now, why? Because he knows that individual's not going to go around and get all puffed up. He knows that individual knows where they came from. He knows that individual is going to give him all the honor and the glory. And so Moses comes back over and over again, you'll see, and he says, I'm not eloquent, I'm not sufficient in my speech, but you understand that God is the one that gives the power. It does not matter how much you're worried about something. If you'll go to the Lord will help you with it. Here's what we see. And when I'm worried, he provides power. When I'm wondering, like the Jews wandering on the backside of the desert, when I'm wondering, he provides proof. Now, isn't that neat? When I'm wondering, he provides proof. Somebody says, well, prove to me that God exists. Oh, for that dear friend that doesn't have faith enough to believe that God does exist, you'll find this out, that they could never prove that God does not exist. All the evidences around them proves the very existence and the proof of the Almighty God and his everlasting power through his creative hand. Can I tell you this? Can I say that Thomas Edison, he was an individual that was a great inventor, and he had a boy that worked for him, and the boy, they'd worked for thousands and thousands and thousands of hours creating that light bulb, and he handed it over to a boy that had just come on board not too long before, and he said, I want you to carry it to the stairwell, and as you enter into the stairwell, be very careful, don't you drop that bulb. Thousands of hours have gone into that bulb, and the boy tripped, you know the story, and he fell and he broke the bulb. Oh, now hundreds of more hours is going to have to go back in to recreating that and making sure that it's all right. Oh, they put in hour after hour. 2 days later, all of a sudden now that bulb is ready to go again. He looked at that same boy that entered into the stairwell, that same boy that dropped the first bulb. And he said, son, here it is. I want you to be careful now and carry it. You say, what is that? Well, that's somebody that has a great trust. That's somebody that says, if you mess up, that's all right, I'll use you again. That's somebody that says, if you fall short, that's all right, I'll be able to help you again. And by the way, God is mightier than a Thomas Edison. God is the one that reaches down, though you and I might be wondering in our heart if God can come through. God is the one, but God always gives evidence. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned unto the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod that God, listen to it now, the rod that was of God that God had put into his hand, Moses took that rod. Now, God gave him that rod because Moses said, well, I just don't know if you can do it. And sometimes here's what God would do. God would bring something in your life to help you to get a grip on how powerful he is. Because, see, after all, here's what we do. We always compare ourselves to someone else. You cannot compare your faith to the greatest faith of anybody that has ever existed when it comes to what God can do. Because God can do more than the greatest faith that has ever been demonstrated. A preacher was in the church, and he, like I tried to get people to get close to God. That's one of the preacher's responsibilities, I do believe. I try to get people to read the Bible. I try and get people to live for God. And this preacher had such a desire to be like that as well. And so he was always trying to get people to join the church, and he'd visit people and stuff like that. And he visits somebody, and the person says, well, I don't think I have a need of church. I mean, the thief on the cross, he died. He wasn't a member of the church.
Yet he's going to go to heaven, the one that God said through his son, you'll be with me today. So what do I need church for? You tell me, preacher. Well, the preacher said, well, okay, let's say you don't become a member of the church. He said, will you support missionaries in their soul-winning endeavors? The man spoke up again, and he said, now, wait a minute. He said, that thief on the cross never gave 1 cent to a church, never gave 1 cent to an evangelistic outreach, and you tell me, if that affected him going to heaven. Oh, and the preacher kind of thought a little bit and thought, well, I don't want to mess this up. He said, well, that's true. And God saved the thief on the cross. And I'm sure if you receive Jesus Christ, God has saved you as a thief also. Okay, that didn't go over too well. I'm saying this. I'm saying here's what God does. God works in our lives. He does. He does. God works in our lives, and we ought to thank him for all that he does. You know, don't compare yourself to someone else. It's about God working in me and through me. It's about me giving myself totally to God. Now, here's my question. Have you given yourself totally to God in the area that God has spoken to your heart about? Here's Moses. We see that when we're worried, we can understand that God provides. When we're wondering, we can understand God to give proof. And lastly, I'll give you this. When we're walking, he's the one that provides the path. Now, can you imagine this? Here's the Egyptians come up. If you do your study on geography, you'll find out that the lay of the land was not a smooth land. The lay of the land was a very rigid area. You'll find out as he's being pushed against that which is the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea. But that would have been a miracle too, wouldn't it? If God would have drowned all those Egyptians in about a half a foot of water, that would have been a miracle too. But that's not what God did. God took them over and drowned them in the Red Sea. So here they are, a nestle between two rigid areas, and the Egyptians are coming against them. And here's what God said. God said, I'm going to provide a way. Now, they're backed. They're back to the Red Sea. I mean, they're backed into the Red Sea. There's no way out. They can't climb the ridge of the mountains. They can't face the Egyptian armies and win. There's those that are the women. There are those that are the children. And the men that are with them have been slaves for all these many years. They're not soldiers. They don't know how to lift a spear. They don't know how to use a sword. They're probably not those that are very privy to taking a bow and arrow because they've been under the hard taskmasters of those that are in Egypt for many, many years. And so what takes place is God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to provide a way through the problem. Not around the problem, but a way through the problem. Exodus chapter 14, and I'm almost done. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, the Bible says. For the Egyptians whom thou see have seen today, ye shall, watch it, see them again no more forever. Now why? Look at verse 14, Exodus chapter 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Boy, that's the hardest thing a child of God will ever do in their life. When you go through problems, just be still. Hold your peace. Well, let me tell you what I believe. Oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what God does. But it's hard. Well, I think that person, let me tell you what I would do with that person. Well, thank God you're not God. Hold your peace. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou out unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Now watch it now, that they go forward. Go forward where, preacher? Go forward into the Red Sea. You said, but you understand, they'll drown. All those years being slaves, they've not learned how to shoot a bow. They've not learned how to throw a spear. They've not learned how to hold a shield. They've not learned how to be soldiers. But they've also not learned how to swim. Now they're going to go into the Red Sea and they're going to drown. Oh, that's what perhaps the mind would see. But sometimes you have to put into action the faith. the faith. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever got on your knees? And I'm being very, very transparent with you. But have you ever got on your knees and you prayed about something and you knew before you ever even said amen that God had already answered that prayer? Have you been there? Have you ever been to the point, to the place where you were pressed against the wall and you knew that God was going to give you wisdom before you would ever face the reality of the wall? You've been there? You know, here Moses is. And by the way, Moses has seen God work. Moses has experienced God working. Moses knew what it was to be there when God performed the miracle after the miracle after the miracle. And sometimes it just takes somebody that's going to tag along a little bit to be able to see another miracle. Just like in the life of Elijah and the life of Elisha. Elisha was not a powerful man of God, but he hung around somebody that was, and he got to see all the miracles. And later on, he saw all those 50 sons of the prophets come down and bow before. Now, why? Simply because of the fact that here Moses is, and Moses is saying, wait a minute. He said, now, here's what we need to do. We need to follow the instructions of the Lord, and we simply need to go forward. And as you go forward, God will bless. You know, out of the historians that I've studied about this particular group, the Egyptians, that is getting ready to attack, I've seen many, many documentations of how many that was coming against them. Some say as many as 50,000 was coming against them on that very day. Well-equipped soldiers that was going to take them out. But that's not a big number to God. You see, God is the one that has never lost a battle, never lost a war. Over in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength. He is my shield. It says, my heart will trust in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart is greatly rejoiced, the Bible says, and my song will I praise him. All right? So wait a minute. Now, rejoicing before it ever happens. Now, how is it that Moses had such great confidence in God? I'll read it and I'm done. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, the Bible says, by faith, when Moses was born, it says, was hid 3 months of his parents. He had some parents, people he hung around, that had great faith. You said, but he was so young, he didn't know that. Oh, but don't forget, his mother's going to be the one that's hired to be able to tutor him. The Bible says this, it says here, and Saul, it says that he was a proper child, and they were afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that means he's old enough to make his own decision, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he hath received respect unto the recompense of the reward, and by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured seeing such him that who is invisible. Now wait a minute. And so in his heart and his mind, he knew I can't see him, I can't touch him, but I know he's going to come through. I know he's going to do it. I know that God will. And there is that which is giving God the faith that God will use to be able to deliver you. Now, what is that? That is this. It's simply trusting in God. And God simply provides. God's simple provision. God's simple provision. Where you step out, you walk with him, and say, I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to take care of that. Why? Because he's God. He's God. Let me encourage you to take that faith that you've got and put it back in God during the Christmas season. Take that faith that you've got. Pull it out, dust it off, if you will, please. Shake it out and be able to get it back to close to being where it ought to be. Learn to trust him when opposition comes. Learn to trust him when problems come. Learn to trust him when distresses come. Learn to understand that when you're walking alone as a child of God, you're not really walking alone. And God can help you every single step of the way. Dear Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you'd help us. Help us to see your simple provision.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.